David, how's it feel to be the official second gentleman of Central Division?
It's all right. I don't mind it. I love this phrase. I'm happy. I'm happy that it's just how something just becomes part of the common language, and I'm for it.
It seems like that's a positive addition to the common language when all we've had are social distancing, like everything right. else has like some sort of deadly implication.
I think there's a Twitter for that the New York Times puts out that's actually pretty playful. It's about when they use a word for the first time in the newspaper. Mm-hmm. And it just, I can't follow that because it's too intense for me, just because every one of the words is either business jargon that upsets me, social media nonsense that also upsets me. And very rarely is it something like second gentleman, which I enjoy.
Yeah. I heard that, you know, speaking of things that are in the New York Times, I heard that your shipment of books is delayed in the Suez Canal.
Can you imagine? It's funny that my previous books were printed in China. One is in America. These are printed in the US, which is nice. So I'm
made in America, Dave. That feels right, doesn't it?
Can we put a flag on it? It's nice. So any day I'm going to expect my first glance at the book. So.
Oh, cool. That's exciting.
Yeah.
It's good that you haven't been affected by the semiconductor crunch that's happening, in the world. I'm glad that your book doesn't require any semiconductors.
I wonder what crunch would affect me. It's like Lamy pens, ink cartridges.
No, gone. it would be like fishing line or something. Oh, there's like a dead shortage on, there's been a run on fishing line for Halloween. Everyone's stringing up all their stuff. All their decorations.
That would be wild.
So let me tell you a quick little thing. I was walking down the fairway at the Wilshire Country Club this Sunday.
Great. And, I love these stories.
And one of my playing partners, a gentleman named Mike Hoagland, shout out to Mike Hoagland, who's like a big wig at Wilson Daniels, the wine importer. Mm. Distributor, retailer, all things great, great, great wine company. Anyway, Mike says, I don't listen to podcasts, but I do listen to your podcast with David. And I thought, well, that's interesting. Someone's actually listening. I don't know if you knew that, Coggins. Some people listen. It's not all just hate listens. Anyway, he says, I'd love to sometimes I'll be listening and I'd love to just talk to David about Riesling. That's what he said. He said,
I love it.
I would love to just, maybe help David understand Riesling a little bit better.
I definitely am. Is it possible to love something and not understand it? It's like when I watched, what is this Boba Fett show on Disney? And there, all these people are like, understand what a black lightsaber is. I'm just here for pure pleasure. Just give me 28-minute episode of pleasure and give me 28 minute bottle of Riesling. Just pure pleasure. So he needs to school me in the correct.
No, he was. It was a very kind. It was a very kind conversation, and he said,
I like it.
He was saying that he really enjoys listening to the podcast, and there's a lot of times where he kind of feels like if he were in the room, he would add something. Mm. And he also said something interesting. He said, some days I'm just find myself agreeing with Coggins, and some days I find myself just agreeing with you, Michael.
Wait, is this real? Did this really happen? You're walking down the fairway. This person exists. You're talking like on a golf course about Riesling who listens to the podcast. It seems like too many variables that wouldn't happen.
It's very, very rare that I go play golf on Sunday, to be honest. Like it's very rare I'm like have that opportunity. Mm. And it was nice of him to invite me. But this is a window into one of my favorite possible Sundays, to
like
be doing something like that. But so I just went ahead and booked him for the podcast. So he'll be a guest.
Come on in, Mike.
Yeah.
Great. Is that who's standing next to you? I was wondering.
I said, I should probably, get this cleared with David, but yeah, let's go ahead. Let's get you on. I think he's someone actually that I look to learn more about wine and we, it's fun. We were playing golf and talking about Burgundy and, the weather in Burgundy and how it affects, you know, the wine. And it was in, I find that really interesting just to be able to, that's one of the things I like about wine is that there's so much there to understand. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, Mike, it seems like there's a lot of hail in Burgundy, you know, it really like affects things. And he's like, well, it's more about like, you know, and then he starts telling me like the details of some of this stuff. And it's really interesting. And he has really deep knowledge of it and is also, you know, really great about educating in a fun way that doesn't feel like, you know, preachy. And I think that's where a lot of people get hung up with wine. I don't know if you know.
I think what's wonderful about wine, if you go to the place, you get fundamentally a different understanding of the landscape, terroir, and it, but it's the earth, right? And conditions. And often when we're looking at wine lists and labels and prices, all of those things are removed from it. It's a social situation. Often you're dealing with a sommelier, can be kind of intense, and we forget all of the organic, original pleasures. And people who really understand wine understand that, and then they can help teach the rest of us. You appreciate it so much. And then it's nice to, it's great to have those experiences. And when people help us learn, it's a wonderful thing. I'm into Sicilian whites right now. Etna whites. That's one of my
interesting
things. But still, you know, we're getting ready for the Masters, and the Masters is Riesling for me, as you know, and it's coming up, and that's the big one for me.
That's great. And so what do? You have like two cases delivered? And then just work your way through it.
I used to have one bottle per round, and that didn't quite work for whatever reason. Because I started watching earlier that, like, I think, I don't know if it's on the Golf Channel or ESPN, where it's not official coverage, but they're on the course.
Yeah.
But then I would kind of get involved in that, and I had to seal off my apartment from outside people so I could enjoy it, the experience in a pure way, because I don't think everyone understands what it means for me to walk. I have to get in the zone. I have to
What does it mean for your life partner? Do you have to send her on a trip, you know, put her on a cruise ship or something?
Things that seem abstract when you mention them become much more real when they happen. I think this is a normal thing as far as I can understand in relationships. So when you say I'm going to watch the Masters, that just sounds like one thing, but when it means like sitting directly in front of the TV at fairly high volume just housing a Riesling, it means something else during the week.
I'm honestly curious why you, I mean, I understand the allure of the Masters and the way the broadcast is done, and it's very calm and sort of reassuring in a lot of ways, and there's like a lot of those things to it. But are you just sort of like hanging on the drama? How do you like in the early rounds like square up with the fact that you don't even like golf?
Well, I think if you do something enough, then you start to enjoy the traditions around it. So I think a lot of people have that with the Kentucky Derby. Mm-hmm. I think people have it with the Academy Awards, or they used to, where they would, you know, they liked to speculate about who's going to win the horse race, who's going to win the best actor, and they might get dressed up, or they might have a party with the same people, or they remember what somebody wore years ago, or a speech, or a horse, or a jockey. And this is at a certain point of, you know, I'm that way with the dog show, which is incidentally, the Westminster Kennel Club is the second longest running continual sports event in the country. The longest is the Kentucky Derby.
Wow.
And I feel like I'm setting myself up for some fact checking there, but that's pretty sure about that.
Are you afraid to throw out facts at this point?
Now I love it, because I feel like I'm not alive. I didn't hear from my sister this week for any fact checking, but I don't know if that just meant she didn't listen to the show. They're actually moving the Westminster show to a different location this year instead of Madison Square Garden. It's upstate New York. I thought I might go. I think it's in Rhinebeck or something. It sounds sort of fun. Outdoor. Anyway,
why are they moving it?
I don't know. They can't use something about groups of people, as you can imagine. Something about the Masters, I just love the feet. First of all, it's spring, right? And that time of year. So that's why Riesling coincides with it. It's that first week in April. The weather seems nice. The days are getting longer. Mm-hmm. I like that short time. I like the feeling of that time. And so this to me is almost just a celebration of spring, a little bit of an escape for something, because I'm, you know, definitely going to be drinking and watching it and relaxing. I do like all the kind of the traditions, even the traditions that are silly. I think when you start to like something, you sometimes get caught up in the silly parts of it too. It would be like watching, I don't know, Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown or something. I don't know, something like that that you did when you were a kid that like I liked to watch too. And it reminded me of Halloween and things. So I think that's why. And then the golf is fine. You know, I don't get too caught up in that, but I do. I just like the feeling of having it on. I used to have that feeling more with baseball too. The first day or something, and you just had some day game on in Wrigley Field, and just seeing the grass was a nice feeling.
It's interesting. Like, there's been a lot of like snowy opening days in Cleveland, like first baseball games, and which is like a thing that happens. You know, there's always like that one rogue snowstorm late in the season, you know, that hits, and I find that like, pretty amazing.
Well, it was funny that the Twins very rarely start the season at home because Minnesota is or any place that has a chance for the bad weather. So they're always on the road. I mean, I used to go when I moved to New York, I would go to Yankee Stadium every opening day. You could still sit in the bleachers for $5 free seating. You could still drink
bleacher
beer.
Bleacher creature.
You could still get a cheap beer. There's no, I mean, how different the world was. Those seats are expensive. They're assigned. The beer is more expensive. You can't even walk around the stadium once you're in that area. Yeah. You have to stay there. And of course, there's security and a thousand other things. But that seems so innocent. I didn't even hate the Yankees back then. And
I went to most of the games that I've been to at Yankee Stadium in the older, the previous version of Yankee Stadium. I don't want to say the old one. Because there's been several, and you know what? So that's like 161st Street, right?
Yeah,
where all the bars are across the street. So you could stay in the bar really, really close to game time, and then the back of the stadium was right there, right?
Right.
So you could like walk right across the street, and then when they moved the stadium, like all those bars, like I don't want to say they like became obsolete, but like they weren't like
right,
you know, right on it, and that kind of changed things. And then you know. Yankee Stadium became like kind of bad first class, you know? Oh,
totally. No. You know, it's funny that you say that about those bars, because at that time it was closer and the people who went to the stadium were a little bit different. Now people are getting driven up. They show up late. They sit in these really fancy seats. And then not only that, the seats cost so much that they include some sort of food if you go into this lounge. And so then you're almost encouraged to go into that lounge. So you're not watching the game. And the people who love the Yankees, even though tons of them drive me insane, are totally priced out or sitting far away.
Yeah.
And it just, which is just a summary of kind of everything.
That's like summary of life. You know, the club, that's actually a good rule or something where it's like the club seats it's always like a bad deal. Like it's never food you want.
Right.
It's like nothing additive. It's good.
Right.
But like there's actual no benefit to that.
Right.
You know,
not only that, I mean, I do not that I like Red Sox fans either, cause they're insufferable. I'm just aiming at people right and left here. But at least at Fenway, people sit down and they're sitting down. You know, if you watch any game there, the entire, whatever you want to call it, lower reserve, those people are sitting. Naturally, the rows are 30 seats long. They can't get out, but it's so much better. And that also drives me nuts about the US Open when they redid the seating. So they're just seats that are half of the lower bowl in the US Open is aisles. And it's just absurd. Even at Wimbledon, all the lower seats are full and it's connected, and it gives a much better atmosphere. If you actually bought a seat at the US Open, you're generally on the third tier up. It's just absurd. And you know,
if you can get invited to like a suite right at the US Open, like with Lacoste, you know, which I happened to be four or five times I got invited to that somehow, which was amazing and so much fun to go to. That's just, I mean, the US Open is so much fun, Flushing Meadows.
Totally. I just wish, I mean, but see, now you're being part of the situation here. Like when it works for us, we like it, but ultimately it 95% of
it is not
good.
But there's more to it too. There's also like all the side courts, you know,
totally.
And you can go watch like great people. I mean, everyone.
The early rounds.
Yeah. You know, like, so all those like little side courts are so much fun. And like everyone there is just so talented, you know, even like we'll go to the tennis in Indian Wells and, it's amazing just to like watch them practice and warm up. And I mean, it's just like on a whole another level.
Any athlete, when you, if you can get close to that person, even if you've never heard of them, a professional athlete, it's just so inspiring. And we're so used to how great most athletes are, and television kind of makes it seem more familiar, but we also have lost their actual ability because we're so used to it. And then you actually see how fast a basketball player is, how great a tennis player is in person. And it's just not even LeBron, just a basic person. You're like, oh my God, this is so incredible. Like, I will never say that this running back is slow again. That is like, that person is the best athlete I've ever seen. And then you just realize how fast everybody else is.
I mean, that's the NFL. Like, you just forget how, you know, everyone on the field is basically super fast except for Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, but everyone's like, so, you know, so fast, so good. I mean, we were talking about this weekend, you know, with college basketball and college football. And, you know, I think college football is really exciting because the defense, you know, isn't as developed or good as it is in the NFL. So it just makes the game, you know, like when LSU won the national championship, like they just scored every time down, and then the other team would score almost every time down the field too. And it was, you know, that's what makes it fun. But
I don't want to go on this rant, but man, March Madness is rough. Whoever's doing the like graphics, half of the things they're putting up is scoring drought. These teams can't score. They're absolutely, it's just not good. For some reason, I'm paying more attention this year because I'm sitting around, I have some time.
Yeah.
And I thought I'd get into it. And it's just, I cannot believe how bad the men are. I'm sorry, guys who love this. I'm way more into University of Connecticut women's team. Is just so much cooler. They play beautifully. There's this girl, Paige, who's actually from Minnesota, freshman, just fantastic player. And they women on the team can pass, can run.
You've been listening to a free preview of Central Division, a podcast and newsletter between David Coggins and Michael Williams. To access all of our podcasts and all of our newsletters, visit centraldivision.substack.com. Thank you.